Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It doesn't feel like a hump show because the week is flying, at least for me. I can't speak for you. I know it's all about perspective, time, and how quickly it moves or how slowly it crawls. It's very often an internal measure. And this week for me feels like it's flying because we've been jammed going back to Sunday afternoon with Tiger Woods and the Valspar Championship, right into Selection Sunday, the worst selection show I've ever seen. Sorry, TBS. Into a bunch of preparation and research for our run of interviews on Sunday night with three coaches and a player. Now trying to figure out brackets and matchups and then NFL free agency. We're not even there yet. I like how Jay put it at the top of the hour in his update. Free agency begins on Wednesday. Here's all the news from Tuesday. I mean, that's so odd, isn't it? We're still 13 hours away from anything being official.
Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock.
Except for players being cut. That's the only thing that it can officially be done by NFL guys, or they can re-sign their own players. And that's certainly what's happening in the case of Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. He's their guy, so wasn't actually a free agent until Wednesday with the end of the one league year and the start of the next league year. And so in that case, you can officially sign deals when we're talking about franchise tags with your team and signing your franchise tenders or re-signing your own guys. But this is a free agent frenzy, which maybe has been matched in the past. It feels insane. Even Carson Wentz was tweeting about it. This league is nuts, or something along those lines. So yeah, a lot of activity, both in the financial business side of the league, but also just the look of teams and the number of critical players changing uniforms, changing locales, changing divisions, changing even conferences. Man alive, we went through a bunch of it there in that first hour. I appreciate Ted Sundquist joining us from Colorado. We went through a ton of the moves there in the first hour, but there are so many more to get to that jump off the page to me, and I would love to hear from you. So a lot of you sending me tweets already. It appears as though the Packers may have surprised you the most. Which are the deals that you love, the deals that you don't? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and you can also post on our Facebook page. We'll put up a spot there, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we want you to send questions for Ask Amy Anything. Don't have any idea if you just don't have anything to ask me, and that's why you're not posting on Facebook or if you can't see the actual post. So we're struggling with Facebook algorithms. I can't tell you how many times both Tom and I have posted and then deleted and reposted, and it seems like then it somehow hits the Facebook information superhighway, but the first time it doesn't. So if you could let me know, by the way, if you've seen the post, the Ask Amy post, if you can see it, if you can see the post that allows you to join our After Hours Bracket Challenge, or you can just send them to Twitter, After Hours CBS. That would be another way to get around the damn Facebook algorithms, the bane of my existence. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We are going to get to some March Madness and also a little bit of some other sports news, like Tiger Woods, who helped to deliver some of the strongest ratings of a non-major in years on the golf tour with the Valspar Championship, where he was a part of those last few groups. Well, actually, he was a part of the last group and was also in contention until the very last hole. So it wasn't like he was out there and all of a sudden fell off the map, and so there was no need to pay attention. No, in fact, because he was down a stroke with one hole to go, people were engaged until the very end. And the Valspar coverage on NBC was the highest rated non-major in 5 years. That was the final round coverage of the Valspar Championship in Florida. And again, the highest figure, the highest ratings number since going back to the final round of the 2013 Players Championship, which was also won by Tiger Woods.
Take that for data.
Does certainly bode well for the Arnold Palmer Invitational, which comes up this weekend. That's a tournament the Tigers won 8 times. And then the Masters the weekend after the Final Four. So it's getting hot and heavy now in sports. We'll let you hear from Tiger as well. And then in addition, there are a couple of big pieces of news from the NBA, though likely not going to spend a ton of time on the NBA on this show. There will be plenty of shows for both the NBA and the NHL once we get through March Madness and this NFL free agent frenzy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, thank you for your tweets, and I'll get to those. But the Kirk Cousins fully guaranteed deal, that's an eyebrow raiser for me, and definitely the hook. There could have been more money elsewhere, but not all of it guaranteed, which means as a player, you're rolling the dice. You're saying, okay, I believe that I can play at a high enough level that it would allow me to play out the life of this contract, and this team will want to keep me around. Let's just say it was the Jets that offered him the 6 years, $180 million, so making $30 million a year. Or what's more likely to happen is that the team continues to ask you to restructure. And that could still happen. I mean, Kirk Cousins could sign this fully guaranteed deal with the Vikings and still be asked to restructure. But if he doesn't restructure and take a pay cut and move money around to help the team, they can't cut him and say, sayonara, you're not going to help us out, so we're going to move on. They can't do that because that money's guaranteed. Now, they could trade him somewhere else, but the contract goes with him if, in fact, he signs on the dotted line. So that's certainly a major piece, just something you don't see very often in the NFL. And I love the reaction of Ted Sundquist, who said, frankly, I'm shocked. And I think that general managers all over the NFL are now scared to death that this has become the norm, because it really handcuffs teams. If you're paying this kind of money to quarterbacks and you know, he's not getting exactly $30 million a year, a little bit less than that. But the fact is they're committed to all $84 million. There's no way to get out of it unless they would trade him. And then some other team would have to take that money. So that was a big deal. I saw some NFL players on social media calling him a hero. I'm using my air quotations because it's not my word, it's theirs. Doug Baldwin called him a hero to all the other NFL players, the young guys who will come up behind him, because he sets the precedent now that other guys are going to be willing to believe in themselves and bet on themselves. I don't know how many other places this becomes the norm. You have to have the right mix. So you have to have room under the salary cap. You have to be desperate for this particular position, in the Vikings case, a quarterback. You have to know that there is a bidding war. If there's no bidding war and you're just bidding against yourself, then you're not likely to give a guy a guaranteed contract like this. So I'd love to hear from you. Do you think Kirk Cousins is worth it? Now is the highest paid quarterback in the league. And it probably won't last long, but the title didn't last long for Matt Stafford, though it did last for the course of a season. But at 29 years old, Cousins just started for the past 3 years in Washington, 3 consecutive 4,000-yard passing seasons. He was 4th overall in passing yards and 6th in passer rating, and the Redskins did win one NFC East championship with him at the helm. Then we've got Drew Brees, who practically signs a deal for 1 year, $25 million, though there is a team option if he continues to play the way that he has. I mean, there really hasn't been any drop-off for him. Even now at 39 years old, he would get the 2 years and the $50 million. And I think this is so intriguing. I wish I knew which team offered him 2 years and $60 million. So if that's true, he turned down $10 million extra dollars to stay with the New Orleans Saints. Sam Bradford to the Cardinals on a one-year, $20 million deal with an option for a second year, and Mike Glennon will be his backup. Josh McCown stays in New York for $10 million for next season. Teddy Bridgewater reportedly gets half of that to be on the roster as well with the Jets. And then we come to all the other moves. So those are your quarterback moves, the big ones, of course, following the Case Keenum to Denver, which we knew 24 hours ago. Jimmy Graham to the Packers. 69 touchdowns since 2010. When he's healthy, he is a red zone nightmare. And we saw him become the primary red zone target for Russell Wilson, especially this past year with the Seahawks. It took them a while to find a rhythm and a groove. And as good as Russell Wilson is, hello, it's Aaron Rodgers now throwing him passes. But in the jostling and the moving and shaking with the Packers roster, they had to make a tough decision. And that was to cut Jordy Nelson. 32 years old, likely to find a home. Of course, he'd missed a recent season because of the ACL tear. But from the Packers front office, Brian Gutekunst said this was a really tough decision to make, I mean, considering the history that Jordy has in Green Bay.
These are tough days when you have to make releases of players who have meant so much to your organization, to your team. Jordy Nelson is one of the great Packers who have played here. And, you know, he was such an excellent player on the field, excellent player in the locker room, and obviously in the community as well. He's everything you want a pro to be, and he'll be missed.
Brian goes on to say this was purely a money deal. Can you imagine if he thinks it's tough and if Aaron Rodgers is lamenting the change? What about Jordy Nelson? I bet there's part of him that feels like he got hit by a Mack truck his entire career with the Packers to this point. Going back to 2008. And other than that 2015 year, where he couldn't play because of the torn ACL, he's been relatively durable, playing at least 12 games in every season since he was with the Packers, outside of the one where he was injured. And for the majority of his career, the decade that he spent in Green Bay, he's played all 16 games in a season. This past year, 6 touchdowns. Receiving touchdowns for him and 482 yards. And of course you have to factor in the fact that Aaron Rodgers was hurt and that changed a lot of things. But 2016, 14 touchdowns and 1,257 yards. 2014, again, the year before he got hurt, 13 TDs, 1,500 yards. And then 2013, another 1,300-yard season. So 13, 14, 16, that stretch there around the torn ACL. Every year, 1,257 yards or more, and one of them a 1,500-yard season. So, yes, he's 32 years old, but he's got playoff experience. He's a guy who has had to be versatile and adjust to everything. We've seen him line up in a variety of spots because Aaron Rodgers is that kind of guy. If you make yourself available, he will find you and he will give you the ball. Well, if you believe that the Patriots are really interested in Jordy, this one makes sense. Because that's the same kind of a situation you'd have with Tom Brady. You get open, especially likes the slot guys. The guys who will go across the middle, who can be sneaky underneath, who can dodge the defense, who can find a way to get open, who can catch whatever you throw to them, that's a fit with Jordy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I love your tweets. A-Law Radio. Kent says the Jordy Nelson release from the Packers was crazy. He has relatives in Wichita. They are shocked like everyone. He's a Green Bay and NFL Hall of Famer. That's according to Kent. And he finishes with crazy business. But I've heard from a bunch of you who are thrilled that the Packers are spending money. It's unfortunate you can't spend money on everyone, but I have heard from a bunch of Packers fans. So we do have an affiliate in Green Bay and other places in Wisconsin. Hello, Wisconsin. That you love the fact that Packers are kind of breaking out of this mold and they've changed a lot in their front office. They've changed a bunch on their coaching staff. Now they're retooling their roster as well. Colton says on Twitter, how much money these wide receivers are getting is shocking to me. Number two and number three wide receivers getting paid like that is crazy to me. It's definitely a passing league. Well, you want to talk about wide receivers? We will do that next. Lots of money out there, like Sammy Watkins. So other position players that are changing uniforms too. And one of my favorite signings of the day actually may surprise you. So I'd love to hear from you. A-Law Radio on Twitter, on Facebook too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Don't forget your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's a free agent feeding frenzy, and we haven't even gotten to free agency yet. It's our hump show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Jones pushes it across. Jones all the way to the rim. Jones banks it in off the left side with the left hand. And Jones makes it 61-58. 3:30 remaining. Fields, beautiful crossover. He lost to Gusto and he knocks down the three. Pretty move by Travis Fields Jr. And for the first time in school history, the Radford Highlanders are victorious in the NCAA tournament. Radford, the champions from the Big South, knock off the champions from the Northeast Conference, LIU Brooklyn, 71-61. Next up, it's the top seed Villanova, Thursday in Pittsburgh.
To be able to say that no team in Division I history at Radford's won 23 games and they're champions. So just really proud of these guys for their accomplishments, and hopefully there's more for us to do.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of head coach Mike Jones. What a moment for the Radford Islanders from Southwest Virginia. Did I say Islanders? My goodness. You know, sometimes Hump Show does come back to bite you in the rear. It's the Highlanders, not the Islanders, you goofball. So there goes the perfect show. It probably wasn't perfect before that, but the Highlanders, kind of rhymes with Islanders. And I guess, depending on my accent, you might have thought I said Islanders, where the H is silent. Maybe not. The first NCAA tournament victory for Radford, and a really strong defense in the second half against the Blackbirds of LIU, holding them to 30% shooting. And so it wasn't pretty. We're talking about one of those grinded out wins, but a good balanced scoring attack for Radford, as well as the opportunity to get this first game under their belt. And that's kind of the deal. As a 16 seed, I think it benefits you to go to Dayton and be part of the first four, because then you know you face a giant coming up next in your next game. You know you're going to face a number one seed. You know a number one seed has never beaten or has never lost to a number 16 seed. And so for you to go out there and shake off whatever rust there might be, especially if you're a mid-major tournament winner and you maybe played your last meaningful game a week and a half ago, this is a good way to shake off your nerves as well. And so congratulations to Radford. Ted Emmerich with the call from Dayton and the first four of that inaugural win in the big dance for the Highlanders. And then in the second game, St. Bonaventure edges UCLA, and really sloppy play for the Bruins. 20 turnovers to just 6 for St. Bonaventure. Great way for the Bonnies to take advantage of those mistakes. Obviously limits the number of possessions the Bruins had, and then they can turn those into points. And that was the major disparity. Aaron Holiday, who is the younger brother of Drew Holiday, who plays for the Pelicans, just a night that, yes, he did have 20 points, and he was the leading scorer for UCLA, but a night that he'll probably remember for the 10 turnovers. Bonaventure was really good at being solid, fundamental, disciplined, and the Bruins were not, and that was the major difference between these two 11 seeds. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. I don't know if you can see the Facebook post we've got up about Ask Amy Anything, but if you can, would you let me know, please? On our Facebook page, that's where you can send your questions. Also, if you haven't joined our bracket challenge, there's kind of a tie there. If you win our bracket challenge, and I have no clue how many people are in it, or if there's no one in it, I haven't even joined yet, but I will be doing my bracket soon. I finally did one for the family. But if you win our bracket challenge here in After Hours, you get the chance to join us for a future Ask Amy Anything, and you can be the man or woman who is asking the questions. If Twitter is more your style, well, then you can send them to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And thank you for your responses for a couple of things. Love, love, love that you appreciated the interview with Monique Lamoureux of Team USA Women's Hockey. She was so generous and gave us a full 20 minutes and answered all of my questions about the shootout versus Canada and the victory tour post Pyeongchang and why it was more than just a hockey game. And I know a lot of my friends have been sharing the interview on Facebook and on Twitter because they're so excited that I had a chance to talk to her. And so that's really cool. So thank you. That's on our YouTube channel, very top of our YouTube channel. And you can continue to pass that around if you see it on Twitter or on Facebook. And then your tweets about free agency, too. What are the moves that surprise you? I think to this point, most of you have said the Jordy Nelson release from the Green Bay Packers. What are the moves that you love? And which are the ones that you really do not love? On Facebook, getting some reaction to the Kirk Cousins deal. 3 years, guaranteed $84 million, reportedly, to lure him to the Minnesota Vikings. Benjamin says on Facebook, Kirk is not worth that money. Never delivered with the Redskins, and he had some good wide receivers there. I think that's strong, Ben. He had three consecutive seasons of 4,000 yards, and they were NFC East champs his first season as the full-time starter. He says, I think we will end up being an... Oh, I think he had a autocorrect issue here. I think he will end up being an overpaid QB, but I've been wrong before. How come the Cowboys aren't making any moves? Oh, maybe that's why. Maybe he's a Cowboys fan and doesn't like Kirk Cousins because of the NFC East rivalry. That could be part of it. I am not surprised because this is the way the quarterback market is going, but I'm still chewing over the fact that Kirk Cousins is the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. It won't last very long because we've got soon deals on the table for Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan. But the fact that he is the highest paid QB in the NFL, more than Drew Brees, who just signed a new contract, that Drew could have taken a different contract, but he wanted to stay with New Orleans. And I love the fact that it wasn't about Drew's ego. He didn't need to be respected by being the highest paid quarterback in the league. But when you consider some of the more accomplished QBs, some of the QBs who've got more gaudy numbers, who've been to the playoffs multiple times, as opposed to the one playoff start for Kirk, it's still something to chew over that he is the highest paid quarterback in the NFL now, or will be if he signs this deal with the Vikings. And again, won't last long. And I know it's just about the time that you catch it, right? I mean, it builds, it's a wheel, it's a hamster wheel that just keeps spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. And the general managers have to keep respecting their quarterbacks by making them the highest paid, but it's not Tom Brady. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's not Matt Ryan. It's not Russell Wilson. It's not any of these guys who've got established playoff success and Super Bowl wins, MVPs even. So, yeah, that one's it's a lot to digest.
It's Kirk's team.
Not anymore, Jay. Okay, here's the one. I told you Danny Amendola was a wow for me. I'm glad for him because he's taken three consecutive pay cuts with the Patriots and now he's going to go to the Dolphins, and certainly they can use his versatility. But that one was a bit of a reaction for me. But I love this one. Yeah, highest paid guard in the history of the NFL. The Jaguars are paying big time money to an offensive lineman. I mean, these are sometimes the smartest guys out there. Andrew Norwell, formerly of the Panthers. So he spent 3 years with the Carolina Panthers. Now becomes the highest paid guard in the league, courtesy of Jacksonville. A 5-year deal, $66.5 million. Wow. And $30 million of that is guaranteed. Now consider the mix. First of all, you have Norwell, who didn't allow a sack or a quarterback hit last season. Oh, that's helpful. I think Blake Bortles is going to be pretty psyched about this one. So no sacks or QB hits on Norwell's watch last season. And Cam Newton certainly got hit a lot. And then the Jags led the NFL in rushing in 2017, but Doug Marrone's been pretty insistent that their inability... Why do I have the hiccups? Their inability to run the ball in the second half of the AFC Championship is the reason why they couldn't hold the lead. So, happy new year, Blake Bortles. Happy new year to the Jaguars run game and the rest of the offensive linemen. Good for you, big man, Andrew Norwell, highest paid guard in the league. And you can tell where priorities are for sure, right? No sacks, no QB hits on your watch. You are worth the coin. All right, 855-212-4227. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything either on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And again, if you see it on Facebook, please let me know because I hate the Facebook algorithms. Straight ahead, I want you to hear a little bit more about Kirk Cousins and why it's a good fit for the Minnesota Vikings. And also Jake Arrieta speaking up now that he's a member of the Philadelphia Phillies.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Okay. The Facebook post is actually viewable. You can see it. Whoa. Thank you so much for letting me know that you can see the bracket challenge. And you can also see our post on NFL free agency. And maybe you can see our post on Ask Amy Anything. I'm not supposed to be looking at that particular post, so you're gonna have to communicate with producer Tom on that one. But thank you for weighing in about this free agent feeding frenzy when free agency is still more than 12 hours away officially. If you missed my conversation with longtime member of the Broncos front office as a scout and general manager, Ted Sundquist, fantastic, especially his reaction to the Kirk Cousins guaranteed contract. So again, he doesn't get the $30 million per year that the Jets were rumored to be offering him if they had a chance for 6 years. So it would have been 6 years, roughly $180 million to make him the league's first $30 million man. That's kind of funny. The league's first $30 million a year man. But he does become the highest paid QB with the $28 million if the terms of this Vikings deal are accurate. 3 years, $84 million. Now he is making $28 million annually, and they can't cut him. They could trade him, but the contract goes with him. They could ask him to restructure. He can say, nope, I'm good. And I think that the last couple of years for Kirk Cousins has prepared him for this. The fact that he went through back-to-back seasons on one-year deals, playing for a lot of money, for sure, but there wasn't a ton of job security there. So he didn't necessarily need the six-year deal. And you know, most times in the league, in the NFL, a six-year deal doesn't actually work out to 6 years. Or if it does, the terms have changed more than once by the time you get to that final year of the deal because the team's asked you to restructure to something that's a little more cap-friendly. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Right now, I can see your post on Facebook and your reaction on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then our phone number, too. We've got some time for you to weigh in. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Former NFL head coach Brian Billick. He's now an analyst, of course. Why does Kirk Cousins fit with Minnesota?
What's interesting is when you look at the productivity of Kirk Cousins versus what they had in Case Keenum, you're paying a whole lot more money for what amounts to about 500 more yards, five more touchdowns, but six more interceptions. I think the interceptions is the key because I don't think in Washington, obviously, Kirk Cousins had to try to make some plays. He had to do some things that maybe were a little ill-advised because Washington was trying to play catch up in so many games. In Minnesota, He ostensibly is going to play with elite. He's going to have that good defense. He's not going to have to take as many chances. So if they get the Kirk Cousins that can be a 20-plus, 25-plus touchdown, keep it to single-digit interceptions, then this is going to be a great fit for both of them.
I thought that was an interesting reaction from Brian Billick, because he points to, first, the difference in the passing yardage between what the Vikings got last year with Case Keenum. Now, remember, he only played 14 games or 14 starts. And Sam Bradford was the one who had, what, 300-something passing yards and three touchdowns in their opener against the New Orleans Saints. So that wasn't a game that Case Keenum played. And so in 14 starts, he had 3,500 yards. Well, let's just say he starts the full course of a season. You could see that he'd be pretty close to 4,000 yards. So Kirk Cousins had 4,093 yards, third consecutive season in which he had more than 4K, 27 TDs, 13 interceptions. Case Keenum, 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So again, if you kind of put that out over, you extrapolate it over the course of a 16-game season, well, then those numbers are pretty darn close. I thought that was a really interesting point. Now, Kirk has done it for longer as a starter, has more of a track record of consistency in the past three seasons. And I think that's where people have gotten hung up on Case Keenum. What they've seen is failure. What they've seen is losses. What they've seen is a guy who is not a complete passer or a complete leader. Though that was in his past, it's interesting that people are not as quick to forgive that and believe that this year could be a fluke. So with Cousins, there's three consecutive seasons of 4,000 passing yards, though it's not like the Redskins have torn it up. They did make the playoffs. They won the NFC East in his first year as a starter. I felt like that point was valid with Coach Billick, because it's not like they're all that different, though the longevity with Kirk, at least as a starter, stands out. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Thomas says on Twitter, "I love the move for the Broncos. Many more to come, I hope." So while there was a lot of negative, kind of hesitant reaction to the Case Keenum decision for John Elway, there were some Broncos fans who were happy and just wanted to see what else they would do. Ted Sundquist told me that the next priority for John Elway is definitely going to be the offensive line. I asked him that, and he said, knowing John's time in the league, where he remembers how often he got beat up because there wasn't a solid offensive line in front of him. Now, John Elway was a mobile QB, but certainly the O-line and then the running game, the addition of Terrell Davis, is what finally put the Broncos over the hump to help them win back-to-back Super Bowls. Scott says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, "With Randall Cobb not exactly lighting it up, it was a shock to see the Packers release Jordy Nelson." Yeah, I mean, Jordy didn't have the biggest numbers this past year. So the three seasons that he played before that, he had huge numbers. One 1,500-yard season, a 14-touchdown season in 2016. But without Aaron Rodgers, everything changes, right? So it's hard to kind of figure out what the production would have looked like if Aaron Rodgers had been healthy all season long for the Packers. But that obviously had a major impact on what Jordy was able to do. You're at the mercy of your quarterback, at the mercy of your O coordinator and the offense. Not like you can create for yourself other than yards after the catch. So a lot of you reacting to the Jordy Nelson part. Mason says on Twitter, "I love the Packers finally using free agency." And that's a major reflection. I think you could see it with both the Packers and the Browns changing their front offices, reassigning people. I love that word, reassigning. That's air quotations right there. Reassigning, moving people around, bringing new people in. And because of that, you've got a different approach. You've got a more aggressive approach for John Dorsey in Cleveland and for the Packers. And certainly Mike McCarthy's still a major part of what they're doing. But the way they've changed their coaching staff and their front office and a lot of pieces around him signals that they understand now they do not have enough around Aaron Rodgers to get them to the top of the heap again. And that, to me, was the most glaring piece of information we got from the Rodgers injury And I said this so many times last season, even as they were getting ready for Rodgers to come back. Of course, we know he's one of the best quarterbacks over the since he got into the league. I mean, he's incredible. I would say he's the best quarterback in the league. Sorry, Tom Brady fans. So the fact that you had to pull him out of the mix and try to make up for his loss, his absence, and were unable to do it, but you also saw the level of production for pretty much everyone else drop, not to mention the weaknesses from the rest of the football team were exposed. And that's what Aaron Rodgers does. He makes up for your weaknesses everywhere else. He compensates.
Let's just state the facts. I'm a highly successful NFL head coach.
He makes Mike McCarthy a highly successful NFL head coach. That's what happens when you have an Aaron Rodgers. And so I think the Packers just, it became this glaring issue that they had to deal with. Put some pieces around Aaron. Otherwise, you're wasting the prime of his career. Ray says on Twitter, really upset the Cowboys haven't made any moves, and it's Super Bowl or bust for Minnesota. Still don't think Cousins was worth that much money. Well, DeMarcus Lawrence ended up getting the franchise tag and feeling like he scored. He's been really excited about that. He couldn't wait to sign his franchise tender. On Facebook, let's see, Trent, Amy, this is Trent from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I just was there with my Grammy when I was up in Wisconsin during Super Bowl week. We love Jordy in Wisco. I've never heard it called that before. We love Jordy in Wisco, but having three receivers at $10 million plus, one has to go. We wish nothing but the best for Jordy, but it would hurt a little to see him go to the Pats. Yeah, Trent, you don't get to control that actually anymore. That's the risky part of letting a player like him go, is that you have no say over what happens next. See, David says, I love the additions the Packers made. I'm going to miss seeing Jordy every Sunday. And George says, Bradford to the Cardinals surprised me. Hope he stays healthy. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. If you switch to Geico, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance with geico.com. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.